This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Headline in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. War game finds U.S. Taiwan can defend against a Chinese invasion. Subhead. All sides would pay a heavy price if ever there were a military conflict over the island. We welcome our colleague Bill Gertz, national security correspondent for The Washington Times, author most recently of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. Bill, a very good evening to you. The Biden administration now gets to measure what they've learned in these last days in the Taiwan Strait, above the skies around Taiwan, and the rhetoric from the foreign ministry and just generally bad behavior by China. Anything new, Bill? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me on. It's clear that these large-scale Chinese military exercises surrounding Taiwan were the largest People's Liberation Army air missile maritime exercise ever conducted. So that's unprecedented. There were two goals. The first was to intimidate Taiwan, to coerce Taiwan, while sending warnings to Japan and the United States not to aid Taiwan in any future conflict. And second, it was practice for key elements of a Chinese war plan for a future conflict with Taiwan.
And that is the administration's position about what they learned. Is that correct?
Well, I think those were some of the lessons that were clearly evident in the operations. They fired either 11 or a dozen missiles, and they did what the Undersecretary of Defense, Colin Kyle, called the bracketed the island. A similar missile firings took place back in the 90s when they were again trying to intimidate this self-ruled democratic island and that is a good friend and ally of the United States.
Gordon, you have a question for Bill.
Bill, excuse me. The Pentagon says that there is no change in its assessment of China's timeline for an invasion of Taiwan, specifically saying that it will not happen in the next 2 years. Do you think they're correct?
It's hard to say. It's hard to predict when they will do. I think the key element here is that things have changed under Xi Jinping, who came to power in 2012 and has made retaking Taiwan a part of what he calls the national rejuvenation of China. I was at a forum in Aspen, Colorado last month where the CIA director, Bill Burns, came out and issued a pretty dire assessment. And he said that it's not a question of whether China will attack Taiwan. It's only a question of when and how they do it. Now, we've heard testimony from two Pacific Command commanders, Admiral Davidson and his successor, Admiral Aquilino. And they have said that there's going to be some type of action by China against Taiwan by the end of the decade, I think is the assessment that they have, which is in a matter of several years, 6 or 7 years. Some analysts suspect that it could come sooner and that the Russian invasion of Ukraine has also given impetus to the Chinese Communist Party to again try to make this bold attack and figuring that it could do so without a major response from the United States and the free world.
Did the representative from the Biden administration learn anything about Taiwan in these days, about its ability to respond, about its unanimity or discord?
I think it's, the Taiwanese, I think it was a wake. I think the Ukraine invasion by Russia was a wake-up call for Taiwan. And I think that they are beginning to look at new ways of deterring a conflict. In particular, the U.S. has been pressing the Taiwanese military to adopt what they call asymmetric warfare capabilities. And it looks like they are developing some of those capabilities. By that, it means developing missiles that are capable of ranging, say, Shanghai or other key cities in China, I think would be a very strong deterrent to the PLA, because the Chinese military is very risk averse. If they think the cost is going to be very high for a military assault on Taiwan, I think it would give them pause. And I think the ability of Taiwan to develop some missiles that can range a major city like Shanghai would be a very effective deterrent. Other deterrent means are needed. Again, perhaps cyber capabilities, perhaps other types of gray area warfare capabilities. The Chinese today, just today, issued a new white paper on Taiwan, and once again said that they would use force. They're not going to renounce the use of force, although they'd prefer a peaceful reunification.
Gordon, you had a question about that white paper.
Bill, that white paper, unlike previous white papers that Beijing has issued, does not include typical conciliatory language. So, for instance, previous papers mentioned that China would not transfer military officers or administrators to the island. And there's also other conciliatory language that has become stock phrases, no longer there. What do you think's going on?
Well, they've clearly hardened their position. I would also point out that they included some very strong vitriol against the United States, which in the past they have played down. They've used foreign forces or other elements, but they were very specific in attacking the United States, claiming that the United States was trying to use Taiwan to contain China, to achieve hegemony. And of course, these are actually the things that the Chinese are trying to do to the United States. They're trying to contain the United States, and they're trying to reach hegemony over the United States. As you mentioned, the title of my book, China's Drive for Global Supremacy, they are on the march for becoming the sole superpower in the world. And the major obstacle to achieving that supremacy is the United States. So they're using gray area warfare. They're using non-kinetic warfare means, financial, economic information, to weaken and ultimately destroy the United States.
One thing has changed considerably these last years is the pandemic has made everybody aware that China is a closed story. We can't see in there. You have a report today in the Washington Times, or within these last days, about, again, questions about the Wuhan facility where the virus either was or was not accidentally spilled, or Wuhan, where the virus was or was not accidentally leaped from nature. That article points to the unknowns of this, but it's certainly true that the American people, the European people, the people of the globe are aware that China is a bad actor, not clear. Does that make a difference when it comes to the Taiwan story? Does that dispose people to defend Taiwan and oppose China's depredations?
Yes, it does. Taiwan is, in my estimation, a democratic dagger pointed at the heart of China's Communist Party, the ruling Communist Party. The Chinese Communist Party has pressed the Biden administration on at least three occasions that I've written about to promise not to undermine the communist system. They have tried to create this fiction that there is no difference between the 94 or 5 million members of the Chinese Communist Party and the 1.4 Chinese citizens. And the Chinese do not want communism. They want to get rid of it. The system is despised. It's corrupt beyond imagination. And they want to get rid of it. On the this hearing, there was a hearing at the Senate last week. I was on vacation, so I just wrote it up this week, but it was really eye-opening. They had three experts on gain-of-function research that's being carried out. This is the dangerous virus work. China is obsessed with viruses. They've discovered some 2,000 viruses in the past several years, and they're doing dangerous work on it. In the case of this new virus that was out there, a researcher, Stephen Quay, who's been one of the leading advocates for saying that the virus, the pandemic virus, COVID, came from the Wuhan Institute of Virology, he testified in a Senate hearing that they have uncovered data that the Chinese mistakenly put on a DNA site that's run by the National Institutes of Health. And this data revealed that they're working on a virus called the Nipah virus, which is 60% lethal. Now, to compare that, the COVID virus is only 1% lethal. So you're looking at this Nipah virus has been characterized by the Centers for Disease Control as a bioterrorism agent. So they're engaged in work that could actually violate China's commitment to the Biological Weapons Convention, which prohibits any kind of research on biological agents like this potentially Nipah virus.
Bill Gertz is the national security correspondent for The Washington Times and just gave an excellent example of why China is no longer trusted anywhere in the world. He's author of Deceiving the Sky, Inside Communist China's Drive for Global Supremacy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.